This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. It's coming up to 8:48 right now, Thursday the 17th of November. I'm Melissa Idris with Ibrahim Sani and Julian Ng. Looking at the headlines this morning, we've got news according to Reuters that it seems that Malaysia, they have reported that foreign banks have been asked to make a written commitment to Bank Negara to stop trading the ringgit in NDFs and offshore non-deliverable forwards. Now, what does this mean for the ringgit? Because Bank Negara is essentially in charge of the onshore rate, right? Not the offshore rate.
So I think the question here is, which one is the true rate of the ringgit, the fundamental rate of the ringgit? And the offshore rate is much weaker than the onshore rate. And I think the real question here is whether we want to accept an open economy with its warts and all. Because the presence of foreign investors in our stock markets, in our bond markets, and other markets like the property market, it provides liquidity. It actually brings asset prices up to fair valuation. So when the money comes in, we really cheer. But this money can go out quite easily as well. And when it goes out, problems happen because it can come in and go out so easily. And I think it's Bank Negara is now in a rock, between a rock and a hard place as to how you manage between short-term flows and arguably more, I'm going to say this in quotes, more genuine longer-term inflows like FDIs and so on.
But at the end of the day, right, what are they supposed to do? You know, right now, they can only do that.
They meaning Bank Negara?
Yeah, they meaning Bank Negara. Onshore, they can ask or compel these kind of banks to actually give written commitment. But essentially, they are out of ammunition in their armory because Bank Negara does have a relatively small foreign exchange reserve. Right now, we have about 97.8 or 98 billion US dollars in our foreign reserve exchange as of the end of last month. And of course, the story also continues with the kind of foreign holdings that we have on our bond. You're right, Julian. When these foreign owners come in, foreign money comes in, and they hold about 51% of our MGS, we cheer. But when they leave, we panic. And we can't have best of both worlds, I suppose.
Right. So the question is now, is how effective will this kind of pressure or encouragement from Bank Negara be? How successful will it be to get this offshore, trading in offshore, right?
Remember we were talking about that jump off the bridge option, right? Ibrahim and I are going to make a bet on you jumping off the bridge, it's quite hard for you to stop us making that bet.
So what's happened now is apparently letters were sent by banks in Malaysia who hold bonds and other Malaysian assets as custodians for foreign banks. And these letters are apparently addressed to Bank Negara. So Bank Negara has purview over these local banks. These local banks act as custodians for foreign banks. So perhaps there could be some sway. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think this is a very much longer-term question. The short-term, of course, Bank Negara needs to do what they need to do to fight fires, and they're going to use all kinds of macro-prudential and moral suasions to do that. But longer-term, can our economy stand on its own? Is this a matter of longer-term policy to make our economy stronger and standing on its legs? And I think that that is a tough question as well.
8:52 right now. In other news, Reach Energy is on its way to becoming the second special purpose acquisition company to graduate to a fully fledged oil and gas company. If you remember, the first one was Hibiscus, but since then we've seen a whole series of other SPACs who failed to secure their qualifying acquisition. So it's Click Energy for one, Sona Petroleum the other. But now Reach Energy, they have received 81% approval from their shareholders for their qualifying asset, which was a stake in, which was an oil field in Kazakhstan for 640 million ringgit.
Yeah, so we have on the line with us the CEO of Reach Energy, Shahul Hamid Ismail. Shahul, let's ask the first question right now. Why was this so successful compared to other specs? You got 81% approval from your shareholders.
Okay, three factors really. You know, the first and foremost is the asset, the oil and gas asset we acquired for qualifying acquisition is really very robust, and our shareholders went through it and were convinced, and that's factor number one. Factor number two is that we were fortunate enough to have some very strong institutional and corporate shareholders who believed in this acquisition and who have long-term desire to be with the company. Therefore, they fully supported the Qualcomm acquisition. And thirdly, our partner in technically the vendor who is selling this asset, the 60% stake in this asset, is also a reputable oil and gas company. And our shareholders saw the synergies and the advantages of working with them. And these are the three main factors.
So, Shahul, you are talking about the positive fundamentals of your qualifying asset. But I'm just wondering about these exogenous factors like the weak ringgit. How will this affect the future cost of your project? So, for example, how would it affect a future CapEx? Would you have to come back into the market to ask your shareholders for more money?
Fortunately, our CapEx requirements are quite manageable in the next few years, and this has been very clearly indicated to our shareholders. A lot of our CapEx has already been spent in developing and in enhancing our processing facilities and so on. So the CapEx burden is not heavy, and as far as payment for this acquisition to the vendor, that has also been structured through deferred payment and realizing the situation with the ringgit. And lastly, in fact, when we look at this kind of operation, it's an onshore-based operation in a well-established area. Therefore, the operating cost is also pretty low. So the weak ringgit, actually, and weak tenge, for that matter, in Kazakhstan, is quite conducive for us because we'll be spending in ringgit and tenge, but our revenue will be in strong US currency.
Well, what about the oil prices? Now, we've seen oil prices recover slightly from the lows that we saw earlier this year. But going forward, I mean, do you think you received the approval because of the timing where you guys asked for shareholder approval that oil prices had recovered? And going forward, I mean, you know, there's all sorts of variables in the oil market. We've got the OPEC meeting coming up at the end of the month. Iran possibly being sanctioned once again by Donald Trump. How do you factor all that into your consideration?
I mentioned to our shareholders that, you know, we signed the sale and purchase agreement for this at a very low oil price scenario, and that is, in fact, the best time to buy. And going forward, I am very positive that the low oil price scenario has lasted long enough and there is very good signs of recovery. And this is really very good for Reach Energy because buying at a time when oil price is low and then looking forward to improving oil prices. And the OPEC meetings and OPEC dialogues have been very, very positive. And I think the whole industry is looking to vibrate the market, and this is what is good for us.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Reach Energy CEO Shahrul Hamid Mohammad Ismail talking about news that Reach Energy has received approval from its shareholders for its qualifying asset. It can now graduate to a fully fledged oil and gas company.
Now I know that the Kazakh currency is called tenge.
Tenge.
I never knew that.
Okay, we've got a couple of earnings results coming out in the news today. CIMB Group and Petronas. Now, CIMB Group has announced that for the third quarter, their net profit was 13% higher year on year.
Yeah, two divisions that came out strongly for CIMB. Indonesia, again, coming out strongly, as well as Consumer Banking Division. And Consumer Banking Division, PBT, or Profit Before Tax, actually grew 27% year on year. And this is driven by low loan growth as well as lower provisions, which is highly interesting for me because we thought that the loan lower provisions in consumer banking was something that we might not expect. But there is another added layer to this because their commercial banking profit before tax is down 55% year on year, mainly due to higher provisions. So this does signal that the SMEs are doing poorly in servicing their loans. It also signals the fact that Malaysia, where 60% of our economy is driven by these SMEs, may face a tougher time ahead for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think those are the few catalyzing factors for CIMB, the domestic economy, which is seeing sign of weakness, even though we saw that the third quarter GDP number was okay-ish, but but there are headwinds at the margins about consumer spending, private spending. Also, Indonesia, I mean, such a huge catalyzing factor, a very impressive performance there, almost doubling of the profits there in Indonesia.
Fantastic. Well, what do you guys think about Petronas's results? They saw their net profit in the third quarter grow 4.5 times. And they say they did this by reducing cost and improving efficiency in cash management.
By all means and measure, right? When you have a low base, anything that is, you know, big, it's going to be quadruple to
that
amount.
So 1.4 billion in last year, and this year just over 6 billion.
Yes, and when you compare to others, other quarters in previous years, it was actually 20-30 billion. So it's still a long way to go from the go-go days. But at the same time, 6 billion in this kind of environment is still commendable.
Yeah. So I think when we look at Petronas, we want to find out how much we and the government can milk out of Petronas, right? In that vein, if you look at the profits, actually a lot of the reduced costs, some of it are cash items, some of it are non-cash items. For example, improve efficiency in cash management and reduce costs as seen in all the sackings of, cutting off, laying off staff and so on. Those items can improve cash, but a lot of it is also due to lower provisions and absence of provisions. And that's not a cash item. So in terms of reliance of Petronas for funding support for the nation, I think it has been very much blunted from years ago.
All right. We've got the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia coming up shortly on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.